This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. It was about this time last year that folks in Bexar County were steaming about a noodle company building a factory in South Bexar County. And they were going to get a $5.8 million tax break, an incentive to do so. But when word got out about the deal and the fact that the workers were not going to get benefits or a living wage, there was a public outcry. Led by Cops Metro, activists made it clear that tax abatements should only be used for bring good-paying jobs to the area, with an emphasis on good-paying jobs like Toyota. So Toyota's gotten its share of local tax breaks, but it pays great wages and contributes to the economy and economic development in many ways. So nevertheless, it's been observed that Texas is too quick to provide tax breaks and asks too little in return, except sometimes the politicians see a return in campaign contributions. We're going to talk about tax abatements and the sometimes race to the bottom. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org or send us a tweet on Twitter. Let's talk to our guest now, Brian Kelsley. He is a professor at the UT LBJ School of Public Policy, and David Marquez, he's the executive director of the Bexar County Economic Development Department. Welcome to The Source. Tax abatements in Bexar County? What's the criteria?
You know, we use a tax abatement program as a part of the toolbox of a number of different incentives that we are trying to encourage companies to bring their capital investment to Bexar County and the jobs that go along with those. That's the primary two criteria we look at. Of course, wages, salaries, benefits, those are also important. We look at those just as importantly.
Now, I'm looking at the San Antonio, the city of San Antonio. You work for Bexar County. They have a plan, and, you know, it's pretty much laid out pretty clear that that if you bring certain things to the table, you get a better deal. Like if you bring if you hit a targeted area, targeted part of the city where the city wants to bring jobs to, if you bringing a certain number of jobs and you. So is that what y'all look at, too, also in Bexar County?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we are always trying to encourage a balanced growth across the county. So one of the ways we do that is that in the southern part of the county and the far eastern part of the county, really east of I-35, we consider that to be a zone where we would consider a tax abatement with a term up to 10 years. In any other part of the county, the maximum term we would consider is 6 years. And, of course, neither the city or the county provides tax incentives for projects that would locate over the recharge zone, the Edwards Aquifer recharge zone, as we see that that's equally important to our water.
That's a good strategy. So let me go ahead and bring callers in. Edith is on the line. Edith, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. My comment is about the hotel taxes, specifically the tax abatements to big hotels. I.e. the Westin a couple of years ago, they were just throwing tax abatements at them like crazy. And they provide low-wage jobs. They didn't even provide health insurance and other benefits because they keep their hours to a minimum. San Antonio needs to stop, and the county is very much so. Giving away our future because it's a ring around the rosy with those people. What they do, they get the tax abatements to initially come in for 10 years or 15, and then in that time they say, oops, our hotel needs to be renovated, obsolete. So it gets flipped. It's corporate flipping to someone else. And so, of course, they need tax abatements again. And San Antonio doesn't need to do that. We are the biggest market with the biggest profit margin in the Western world for hotels with the lowest building costs and the lowest operating costs. I hope somebody wakes up and smells coffee.
Okay, Edith, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. So is that true that a business can, after they had a tax abatement, they've been here for 10 years, and then they can come back and say, well, now we got to renovate and we need another tax abatement?
I don't think I can think of a case where we've given another abatement to the same company. Even if we wanted to, the state law prohibits us from abating taxes more than once, essentially. In other words, if something's been abated, it can't be abated again later. So if a company came in and added another building, let's say, we would only be able to offer an abatement on that new building, not either extending or adding a new abatement onto the existing facilities that were already on the ground. Let me speak specifically to the La Cantera Westin Resort that she's talking about. That was an abatement we did back in 1998. This has been a process of evolution, Dave. We started this program. The first abatement that I had was showing our records for the county was SeaWorld. I mean, imagine abating a theme park today. But back in that time, we were really trying to supercharge our tourism industry. And as Edith rightfully points out, it's a healthy industry for us. We really don't provide incentives towards that type of activity today. Specifically, hotels are not a category that we would provide a tax abatement to, theme parks, et cetera. Then we went through a period of incenting different types of activities. And today, as you pointed out, we're shooting for different industries like Toyota, manufacturing jobs like Boeing and others. This is part of why you give incentives, because you want to diversify your economy. You charge one area of the economy. As it starts to reach critical mass, you can turn your resources and your attention to a different one. So the hotels were quite a few years ago, more than a decade or more.
So you use that to prime the pump to get an industry going, and then you can let the free market try and take care of it more of its own.
Right.
Let's go ahead and get Brian Kelsey. He's now back on the line. He's a professor at the LBJ School of Public Policy at UT Austin. And so, Professor Kelsey, using tax abatements, overall, is it considered to be a wise strategy?
It's hard to say overall. I mean, there are certainly bad agreements out there, and then there are plenty of examples of agreements that have worked out in favor for the communities receiving the benefits of the corporate relocation or expansion project. So I mean, it's hard to characterize everything as being either good or bad.
Okay, so what's the best-case scenario? When does it work?
For characteristics of a good agreement?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Can you tell me, what are the characteristics of a plan that works well, an abatement that works well?
Sure. So when there's a competitive project, and by that I mean a company that's considering multiple locations and a city or a county or some kind of taxing jurisdiction wants to enter into an incentive agreement with them, then putting in place strong performance standards, for example, if a company promises to create 100 jobs.
All right, Professor Kelsey, we're going to get back to that in a second. We've got to take this break. This is The Source on KSTX. The number is 614-8980, talking about tax abatements. We will be right back. And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about tax abatements when the county, the city, a school district will decide to help a big business out by not charging them property taxes for 10 years at a time. And this is a way that you can bring big business to your company, to your area, generate jobs. Some people say it's also you pass that cost onto the rest of the taxpayers. So everyone really needs to benefit from this and not just a few. And with me to talk about that, we have David Marquez. He's the executive director of the Bexar County Economic Development Department, and also Brian Kelsey. He's a professor at the UT LBJ School of Public Policy. And Professor Kelsey, you were telling us, we went to break, about that there are times when this works, and do we need to pay attention to paying a living wage and how the workers are taken care of, not just everything? Is that a part of the equation?
Sure. I think qualities of good tax abatement agreements have some sort of wage floor to them. A lot of cities and counties use, say, the average wage for the area as that benchmark. I think overall that is a good way to structure a policy.
All right, we're going to cut and sort of tweak the conversation here a little bit and take a look at sometimes politicians do get a benefit from these deals. Recently there was a report by the organization Texans for Public Justice. They put out a report yesterday. It said that Texas Comptroller Susan Combs, she has approved $1.2 billion in tax breaks. And since 2006, two campaign contributors – okay, that she has received $238,000 from companies getting tax breaks under the statewide economic incentive program. And so helping to put that together is Andrew Wheat from Texans for Public Justice. Andrew, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks very much.
So are you saying that there's a quid pro quo that goes on when a politician like Susan Combs gets campaign contributions from the companies that she approves for tax incentives?
Well, to be able to say there's a quid pro quo, you usually need to have wiretapping authority, or you need to be able to psychoanalyze people, and I can't do any of that. So I just see, that there are tax abatements being approved on the other hand, and with one hand and with another hand, the comptroller's receiving contributions from some of the companies that are getting these massive tax abatements. So, I can't speak to the quid pro quo, but there is money coming in.
Okay, so not quid pro quo, but does it pass the smell test, which is much more lenient?
Well, you guys have been looking at a number of these tax abatement programs and whatnot, and they're controversial from the get-go. Some people on the right and the left don't think the government should be in the business of handing out tax dollars to private companies, especially when some private companies get them and others don't. But if you are going to have such policies, it seems to me that you would want them to be as insulated as possible from partisan politics. You wouldn't want somebody passing judgment on who's getting these abatements that at the same time might be in a position to collect hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from the beneficiaries of that. Yes, there is a smell problem with this program.
And we did get a response from the comptroller's office. They said that they post all substantive project documents online. They follow the law and the statutes when it comes to who gets a tax break in the state of Texas, according to this program, Chapter 313 projects for local school districts, and that as for the Texas for Public Justice report on contributions, there's absolutely no overlap between the campaign and any agency functions conducted by the comptroller's office. So they're saying these are not connected.
Yeah, well, it's certainly there's no question that there's nothing against the law with this as the law stands today.
Right. But this brings up the question, thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate you for coming on the program and, keep up the good work. This does bring up just one more wrinkle in the issue when you have tax incentives and sometimes millions of dollars are at stake. And is this something that pops up from time to time, Brian Kelsey, from a professor at the UT LBJ School of Public Policy?
Yes, it does. But, there is a misconception out there that most expansion projects or relocation projects receive tax abatements, which is not at all true. And I'll give you an example. Here in Austin, we have on average about 30 such projects that companies that have relocated from other places, other states usually, have about 30 a year. And really only 3 to 4 of them on average receive any sort of tax incentive to do that. So, we're not talking about the vast majority of companies receiving tax breaks.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. Tom is standing by. He's got a question for us. Tom, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I am a salesman, and I used to work with a company as they started Advanced Micro Devices, West River Hills, Wiseman area. They started building semiconductors, very lucrative, competed with Sony Micro Devices, and they were given an abatement, I think $7 million over X number of years. The company became such a profitable company that they ended up selling. But it is my understanding the city never was able to collect on the abatement because when they sold AMD to Philips Semiconductor, Philips claimed they didn't owe the taxes that were coming to them from Sony Micro Devices. I don't understand the laws. I'd like to have that discussed. I'll let you all discuss it on the air.
All right, Tom, thank you for that question. I don't think we can talk about that case in particular unless you've got details, David, that I'm not aware of.
I can't speak to the city's agreement. I know all of our contracts today and throughout the duration of our program have what are known as clawback agreements, arrangements. In the instance where a company is sold in this case, then we're probably talking more about an assignment provision, which would also be part of the contract, in which case if the company wants to receive the benefit of the abatement, then the county or the city would have to agree to that. So I don't know specifically about that company, but in a similar instance, if it were to occur today, if the jobs were still there, they're simply working now for a different company, then we're still receiving the benefit of the capital investment of the jobs. And corporations buy and are sold occasionally, and that does happen. It doesn't happen very often. I think, as was mentioned earlier, our program has been in place for nearly 30 years, and we've done in that time a total of 108 abatements. That's about three, almost four per year. And think how many of those were just involved with just the Toyota project itself. About 20 of those are just strictly related to Toyota all at one time. So this is really much more conservatively applied than I think people believe, because they're so visible. It's fair that the citizens have a reason to ask, but they should feel comfortable that we do look at these things conservatively. We don't give them out like candy. There are many provisions in there to protect our interest and to make sure that we're getting the benefit of what we want, the capital investment and the job generation.
Okay, and so we want to go with Civic Analytics, an economic development and consulting firm. Sorry, I just got miscued on that. All right, so Brian Kelsey, tell me about how, you know, some places do this better than others. Is that a good assessment?
Yes, that's correct.
And so,
I think Austin here actually is a pretty good example. They restructured the way they do their tax incentive contracts a few years ago. There are two public hearings, so the public has input into the process and can weigh in on these agreements. There's a full cost benefit study posted online that people can go and read before these deals are finalized. There are examples right here in Texas of cities that in my opinion do this very well.
Okay, and so and David Marquez at Bexar County, what are y'all looking for in terms of bringing good jobs to San Antonio right now? The number one item that you're looking for, is it manufacturing, or are y'all looking at how much they're paying their folks?
Well, manufacturing jobs tend to pay a higher wage than a service type of job. The thing about this community that I think is why this program has worked so well is that we collaborate. So the county's focus has been heavily on manufacturing, on aerospace, on some of the new action related to the Eagle Ford, the oil and gas exploration, and that sort of thing. The city collaborates in those areas, cooperates with us. We jointly go after those, but their emphasis is sometimes more on the biomedical front and other industries. That's because we don't want to be duplicating efforts. There's no reason for both of us to be chasing after those same targets. So there's a kind of a division of labor. So those are the areas of primary interest of the county. Manufacturing, specifically automotive equipment, heavy equipment manufacturing, like the Caterpillar plants in our area, aerospace, et cetera.
Okay, back to the phones. Chris is standing by. Chris, welcome to The Source.
Hi. My question is for the gentleman from the Development Department for the City of San Antonio.
He's with Bexar County.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, the question is that if Rackspace was in San Antonio, yet and still you move them to the east side of San Antonio, but the deal is that you're going to annex the portion to where Rackspace is moving to and give that tax base to Windcrest versus keeping it in San Antonio, yet and still you're trying to bring and lure businesses to San Antonio. What benefit does San Antonio get for trading the locations? What tax base do we get for that? We're losing a large tax base.
Okay, so we're talking about Rackspace. They have the castle now at the old Windsor Park Mall, which is in Windcrest. And so, yeah, that was a great windfall for Windcrest, which is now seeing, I guess, a pretty good economic turnaround because of that, because it had been on the downslide.
But it was in San Antonio at Data Point, So I don't understand why San Antonio would make a deal like that.
Well, okay.
Thank you for your call, Chris.
It's a corporate decision, Dave. I mean, these we were really facing the real possibility of losing Rackspace. This is a flagship company for us, again, in a new industry for us, this area of cloud computing. At the time, this hosted servers, high-paying jobs,
and just because
jobs.
They're not DeCastle, they're not in San Antonio, they're in Wincrest, doesn't mean San Antonio is not benefiting from Rackspace. I mean,
absolutely. The impact is across the whole economy. Their dollars don't stop at the Wincrest city limit line. This was collaboratively done. Again, the city of San Antonio agreed to move the boundary because they knew that that was part of what it would take to make this package attractive enough to keep Rackspace here. It was successful. Now you're talking about thousands of jobs in this sector. This is not an IT city, at least historically. We're building that, and getting this type of win, it was important to all of us, Wincrest, the city of San Antonio, Bexar County, the state, and, of course, to Rackspace.
All right. Well, that sounds like so Brian Kelsey from the UT Austin, any last words about the future of tax abatements?
No, I think you covered it very well.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for participating in our conversation. David Marquez, Executive Director of the Bexar County Economic Development Department. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about debtor's prison, the future of the politics of austerity in the United States. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.